What's poppin', part two, listeners?
Poppin' part two? Double pops?
As if part two listeners are so different from part one listeners.
You never know. There's always one.
Oh, you're right. Just like the one person that doesn't like the parts one and part two.
Exactly. Actually, there's always one.
There's two complaints about the double download. Actually, there's a second complaint.
Oh, really?
That chick.
What's her problem?
Just to download twice.
Don't they automatically download? Oh, unless you go to the website, I suppose. Well, we appreciate all the effort.
Yeah, thanks for going out of your way to stay with the show.
Yeah. No, I'm being sincere. Obviously.
Most people really dig it. So, I mean, I think it's a winner. I'm sorry a couple people don't like it. Maybe more than a couple. But we're trying. Trying to do majority rules here. My God, don't we have enough going against us already? Amazingly, we seem to be. I know, Jay, are we still adding listeners? Are we? Good.
Make sure you tell your friends.
Every time Jay tells me that, I'm convinced that he's lying to me to make me feel better. Because he always says it. He's never said, no, we're losing listeners now, or we're stuck, we're at the same point.
As long as we're getting more than we're losing.
Wait, Jay's just about to acknowledge losing listeners. What's the story? Oh, we may have lost two, the parts one and two unhappy people. No, they'll be around. They'll get used to it. So, anyway, God, there's been a lot of kind of odds and ends this week. You know, there's not that one domineering topic.
No, uh-uh.
I've really been trying to get off the presidential thing. It's like, you know, it's crazy every day.
It's already over.
We can take a break from it. People are really tired, I think. They're just weary of it. And it's too early to be weary, so obviously it needs a break. And we probably need a break, too, from killing you with it. But there's a zillion other little things and some phone numbers, too. Always looking for those unique opportunities. In fact, we may get to talk to the Get My Dog!
What?
Yes, that lady.
Wait.
Jay may be tracking that lady. He's already talked to...
Nobody knows who that lady is.
Jay's talked to the rescue dude, though.
Get my dog.
And the rescue dude can hopefully take us to the get my dog.
Get my dog.
I mean, if anybody knows the get my dog.
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 Better
get
not,
my dog.
Better not
get
be.
My dog.
Someone emailed
get
it.
Get my dog now.
Better not be.
Let me find this. It was a great series. There's so many serious issue shallow thoughts with that one story. She really is quite remarkable.
Wait, has an emailer come up with a serious issue shallow thought?
Yeah, they have a few times. Let me find Tony Conti. The lady in Louisiana was probably the most calmly anyone has ever said, help me, I'm drowning. Was she ever really in that much danger?
No, she wasn't.
That's what made me laugh. At first, it looked like the car was about to go in a pond or some deep, you know, 200-foot deep body of water. And then the guy jumps in. It looks like it's 3 feet deep.
Yeah, he's standing up.
Yeah.
It was, again, I referenced the 696 rescue that was seriously about four inches of water. And it was clear to me that the lady didn't want her shoes to get wet.
I gotta tell you, I was freaked out last night with those storms. I was thoroughly convinced it was going to start flooding again in Berkeley.
I was, I thought this morning, I didn't realize it was as heavy as it was last night, but when I found out this morning how heavy it was, I was certain that one of our renters was going to have a flooded basement.
I was up between 2:30 and 4 because it was just so loud and listening to it. And I spotted that hero, by the way, that guy that cleans out the street.
Oh, the guy in your corner.
That guy never sleeps, man. He was out again yesterday cleaning out the, you know, the manholes or whatever. What are they called? The drains, the storm drains. But that was so bad. And so then I was listening to the radio and like every highway was closed for an accident or flooding. So I'm like, oh, shit, here we go. Basin's going to flood.
Yeah, total disaster.
But no.
I know, thankfully.
So you didn't have any runners? No runners complained?
No, no. But, you know, we did some plumbing work on the three or four houses that seem to always get water.
Yeah.
I mean, even when there's not that much rain, it's like, no, there can't be water. You got to be kidding me. I mean, I'm I can't even measure how angry I am at certain places like Royal Oak for their lousy infrastructure. They've got all that liquor revenue, all that party revenue, all that parking ticket revenue, and they can't do something about the infrastructure there.
Well, remember, though, they had severely underfunded public pensions for a long time. Their fire and police.
Yeah.
I just, my point being, well, I don't know if it was terribly well managed for a while.
It doesn't sound like it.
No.
But, you know, Royal Oak's not alone. There's, you know, Berkeley has terrible problems. Dearborn Heights has continuing problems. Detroit, those poor people in those condos on Jefferson. Did you see that
story?
Yeah,
the guy was using the giant, what's it called, squeegee?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I felt so bad for those people. They're new condos, and clearly, when they built those things, they did not take care of drainage issues as they should have been, because they've had... Most people there have had at least three basement floods, and they've only been there a year and a half or something. I mean, is that not just complete and total misery to know every time you see it's raining? You don't think of, it's raining. You think, oh, shit, my basement.
Well, it's kind of how I feel ever since, you know, August 11th, never forget.
Yeah, the stress.
Hashtag never forget. Yeah, I just feel like it's going to happen again at any moment.
No, it's horrible. I think the stress is about as bad as any element of it whatsoever.
What's the dumbest thing, I don't know if you'll even reveal, but what's the dumbest thing or the lamest thing one of your renters has ever called for you to take care of or Rob to take care of? Can you share it? Can you divulge it?
I can share a little bit.
Because I always think when you're renting and something happens, you immediately, I'll just go, the landlord's taking care of this one.
Yeah. Well,
when you're a homeowner, it's all on you, obviously.
The landlord is pretty good, I have to say. The landlords are pretty responsive because... we want to take care of the houses.
Yeah.
We don't want people having problems. And I've come to learn that we're actually maybe too responsive because there's a few people who've become spoiled.
Joe, there's a light bulb out.
Almost.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Most people are used to landlords who take care of it within a couple weeks or 3 weeks.
Yeah.
I mean, really like bad stuff that will people just let linger. They're like, oh, yeah, I'll get around to it. You know?
I'm in a meeting. sleeping.
But the one
John Madden, landlord.
The one I love that.
Sleeping.
There was one person who was a longtime renter, probably like 4 years, as long as we've owned any house since we started the property management. And she was pretty high maintenance.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to think of, like, in what way she was high maintenance.
What's the age range?
She's, like, mid-30s.
Oh.
But she liked to party a lot.
She
was kind of hot.
Nice.
I never met her, but Tess told me she was kind of hot.
Nice.
And...
Wow, she must have been really hot then, right? I don't know. Tess
probably,
is into her?
Yeah, probably so.
Tess is into her.
She was... The last story Tess told me about her was they were out... they went out to dinner, and... She got a couple of, like, Long Island iced teas.
Yeah.
And this is at, like, a normal restaurant. And she was, like, dancing at the table, like really boogieing down at the table. And
hot.
To the point that I think Tess was pretty bummed out, like, embarrassed.
She was having dinner with her.
yeah. She's dancing up a storm at the table.
Well, that's
and then,
embarrassing and as then hell.
She got up from the table and was boogieing, like, next to the table.
Oh, man.
And then when they left, she was like, I want to go dancing. Let's go dancing.
Was she the only one at the table dancing?
Of course.
And then when she got up, was she the only one in the restaurant?
Yes. Yes, absolutely. And, you know, the restaurant was, I think there was some music playing, but it wasn't like they were, you know.
It wasn't
like
a club.
It wasn't disco night or something, you know. And DJ. So, you know, she's a little, she likes to have fun.
I'll say.
Say the least.
She likes to dance.
And anyway, there were a lot of, like, pluses and minuses with her. I think overall she's really pretty cool. For example, that was one of the houses we had water problems with. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the first time she had boxes she hadn't even opened up. They were in the basement. God. They got wet, and it was a real drag. And I think Tess even helped her with some of the, you know, it wasn't a big deal, but I think she cut the rent maybe a little bit for a month just to give her a break. And this house, well, once that happened, you know, and stuff was moved and all, it didn't really matter when there was water, But there was just water a lot of times, like probably five or six times. You know, she'd go, oh, I don't know. It's weird. It didn't even rain that much, but there's water. You know, that was when I was getting really upset. That was when I was like, we have to get rid of this house, that house. This, I'm so sick of water. I can't stand it.
Yeah.
But we got some plumbing work done in that house, and it's dry as a bone now, fortunately. So that seems to be over.
Wood.
Anyway, great renter and paid the rent on time all the time. And then all of a sudden, like, things unraveled for her. Like, I can't even explain it. I mean, she went through a lot of stuff. But it was one of these deals where, you know, I got to move out. I lost my job. And so I can't pay the rent. And so the last month's rent would have to be your security deposit. You know, one of those, that bad. And so.
It sucks.
Next thing you know, I think the boyfriend, maybe the ex-boyfriend or somebody or a friend came, packed up as much stuff as they could, like bolted. She moved, you know, like maybe four or five states away or something. Mm-hmm. For some reason, she totally left the area and left, you know, like bedrooms full of stuff and closets full of stuff and refrigerator full of stuff. So it was like
feces, probably. They always leave feces.
No feces. Oh, okay. No feces. Thank God. And I think she had a cat, too.
I was thinking human.
No human feces.
Why did she leave all her? Okay, go ahead.
Because she had a U-Haul and it had so much space, and so anything that didn't fit in the U-Haul was like, it's all yours. You can have all of it, any
it's
of it.
Not very resourceful.
No, not resourceful at all. Nobody wanted her shit, and
it was all garbage.
So it all had to be thrown out.
Really?
Yeah. And so
didn't sell it or.
No. It was like, nobody
just, it was crap.
We just wanted the shit out of the house.
Yeah.
The house on the market, new renter in there. Because not only did we have the security deposit for the 1 month's rent, but, you know, left the water bill, which a lot of people do because they, I don't know if they know this, they probably do. The water bill basically is the property's responsibility, not
stays
the person's.
The house. Uh-huh.
Which is, you know, that's a really classy way of a municipality, of a monopoly of making sure the water bill gets paid.
Yeah.
Because if you don't, if it's not the person's responsibility, then, you know, when the person's gone, the owner is stuck with the bill.
It. Well, that's how I say.
Or the new person doesn't get water.
As I was saying, every time I've rented a house like in Ann Arbor, it's, you have to pay for all utilities except water's covered. They just roll it into the cost of the rent to make sure it gets paid.
That's the way to do it. Why didn't I think about that? That's obviously the way.
Yeah, just roll it into the rent. Yeah, your water's covered. That's why your rent might be, you know, $100 more a month.
Well, you know, you never want to make your rent number higher than it needs to be, but that's the way to deal with
If water's covered, yeah.
Yeah.
Then you don't have to deal with them.
But of course, then you don't know exactly how much the water's going to cost. It's just not a good system, and it's their way of fucking someone to get paid, to make sure they always get paid. They never have to worry because they've got the owner who is stuck no matter what. So anyway, leaves all this shit. So you know, Tess gets like a couple neighbors, guys, young guys, like teenagers to help him. They want to make a little money is, you know, move all this crap out, rent a dumpster. And there were a few things like I think the bed, I think somebody wanted the bed. So it wasn't a total loss. There were a couple things if you wanted. But then, okay, so after all this hassle, first of all, the surprise of, I'm moving, I got no money, you have to take my last month's security deposit, sorry! And then, you know, I'm moving everything I can to you all, and whatever's left is all yours! You know, after that.
Thanks.
Then, okay, phone call, like 2 days later, after everything is moved out, and literally places spick and span cleaned up, Tess worked for hours cleaning it up. It's on the market, and like renters, people jumping to rent it, and it's like, okay, everything's all right again. Phone call. Oh, Tess, there's a pair of boots that I left in the downstairs closet that I need. You know, can you send them to me? Oh, and the cable box. I didn't take back the cable box. Can you take the cable box back for me? And I mean, list. I swear to God, a list of like 11 things.
No way.
I'm not kidding.
She actually wrote the list. Tess didn't do any of it, did she?
None.
Good.
Zero.
Good.
Absolutely none.
That's insane.
And she was pissed.
What an idiot.
I know.
What a fucking moron.
You know, and I wish I had the list in front of me. Why didn't I save that?
Oh, I would love to hear how trite and stupid. I mean, just the fact that the first thing was boots, a pair of boots.
A pair of boots, yeah. And there were a few other pieces of clothing that were, oh, I left a jacket in the upstairs closet. It's really cute. And, oh, my God, I miss it so much. Can you wrap that with the boots and send it to this address?
I want to see how full that U-Haul really was. If you can't fit a pair of boots in there.
Oh, okay. Left this part out. When the friends showed up to move, it was a couple guys. And Tess was helping, too. Because Tess was going over to, gee, I wonder how big a disaster this is going to be. She went over there, and she realized that they were terribly undermanned. And she was sick and lying on the couch and couldn't be bothered. Because, I don't feel good.
What?
I don't feel good. I can't help. She was lying on the couch the whole time. No, actually, she's in the bedroom with the door shut the whole time. Sick.
Why, you cleaning the house out?
Yeah, while her friends were throwing all the stuff in the U-Haul and all that, she was lying in bed,
and she was moving.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, what a pain in the ass this chick is. I can't wait to find out who she is so I can look her up off the air. How ridiculous. When I bought my house in Royal Oak, the guy left a bunch of crap behind, and I immediately...
That is not a bonus. Don't do that to people. That sucks.
Why would you want someone else's crap?
No, it happens
They left behind.
All the time.
And so I gathered it all. I threw it away. Like, I was going through the attic. It was my first house. I want to know every nook and cranny of it. And I was pretty proud. Just threw it all away. Even went in the garage attic. There was crap up there. And threw it all away.
Drag.
A week later, he shows up to the house.
For his stuff.
For some of his stuff. He's like, oh, I left some of this stuff in the garage. Specifically, the stuff that was in the garage. And I just went... sure, you can go in there and look and see if it's there. Just shut the door and hid. Because I knew I tossed it all.
Did he come back and go, how could you toss that stuff?
No, he just left.
Oh, okay.
But he did sound like this. I don't know what the hell he was looking for, but yeah.
Nice communication skills.
I know. And so he had a very elaborate landscaping in the backyard.
Uh-huh.
And I didn't want it there. I wanted grass. There was like no grass, but I just wanted grass. Some of it was okay, so we cleaned it out. And like the piece de resistance in his landscaping was this giant rock that was a pain in the ass to move.
Oh, God.
So I ended up rolling it behind the garage, you know, just out of sight, out of mind. Tore up the rest of the landscape and got rid of it.
Let me guess. He was disappointed.
No. So I'm sitting in my kitchen one day. And I see two gentlemen, two very in-shape gentlemen walking together, going back there. I'm like, why are these people walking in my backyard? What is going on here? And so I went out there and confronted them, and they just went, oh, hi. I was like, yeah, can I help you guys? Like, this used to be Charles's house, right? I said, yeah.
Oh.
Well, Charles had a lava rock, and he said, if you ever moved out, we could have it. I started chuckling a little bit. Like,
if you ever moved out, they could have it.
No, if Charles ever moved out, they could get it. But Charles had been out for like, I don't know, 6 months at that time.
Oh, my God.
So they went for lava rock, and I was just like, oh, no, I got rid of it, knowing full well it was still behind the garage. I'm probably going to give it to him. But I was so pissed that they just sauntered into my backyard.
That reminds me of a great story. When...
Charles.
When I bought the house in Royal Oak on Blair Street.
Yeah.
Yeah, that house. Well, actually, I wasn't on the deed, but I did make the rather large down payment.
That's unfortunate.
Yeah, it was unfortunate, especially when it's sold.
Yeah, you live and learn.
Yeah, you do. Sure do. I still remember talking about having something written down on paper for
that. That's crazy.
And
never happened.
Install that. Trust me.
That sucks.
Yeah.
That is bullshit.
Yep. Yeah, tears were shed over that discussion.
Oh, man.
I backed off. And, oh, well.
One of those?
Yep.
Oh, of course, easily manipulated.
Circumstances were dramatically different
at
those two points in time, which is precisely the need for the paperwork.
Yeah, of course.
What my lawyer said to me, you know, things may change. And
that's funny. I've known people that have bought houses together. And it was like, do you really want to do that? Do you really want to?
I know. I say the same thing.
Do you really want to do that? Anyway, so that house.
Yeah, so anyway, it was weird. Bought the house in the springtime, And when, you know, the really, when it goes from 50 degrees to 90, which it does every year here, this very strange smell suddenly appeared in the doorway. Do you remember this? Yeah, it's like, what the hell is that? It was horrible. It smelled like cat piss. I kid you not. Yeah. It was like for about 2 hours, like, what is that horrible smell? It smells like something. I can't put my finger on it. And then all of a sudden, it's like, cat piss! And it's like, yes!
Like you won a prize.
Cat piss, yeah.
For correctly identifying the stench.
No, we both could not figure out what it was. And then it was like, oh, it's cat piss. Of course. You know. And so then it turned out it was in both doorways when it was humid. And then it cooled off for a couple of days. The smell was gone.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, the smell's gone. It's crazy. Wow, that's wild. That's so weird. So glad it's gone. And then, you know, it's 85 again. Boom. The smell's back.
Return of the cat piss.
It turned out, and I contacted, through Mike Clark, Glenn Hagee.
Oh, all right.
Yeah, who said...
Handyman?
Yeah, he said, it sounds like someone used the wrong primer on the door.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and you've got a scientific, you know, a bad mix between the paint and the primer, and you need to strip the door... and repaint it.
Did you go, Glenn, you want to do that?
No, believe it or not, we took the doors off and put them in the garage.
Yeah.
And I think, I can't remember who did the stripping work, but I remember painting it and taking great pride in my paint. But what I left out, the best part of the story, in the middle of all this, we called the previous owner because we only had the house for a short time. And I hate calling previous owners. I think it's terrible. In fact, here's another story after this one. And like, what's going on? It got real hot. And all of a sudden, there's this horrible smell. And, oh, I have no idea. I can't imagine what that is. I never heard anything.
Never happened to us.
And we're like, really? You sure about that? Oh, no. Anyway, I woke up on Saturday morning at about 6:30 in the morning, and I was just kind of walking around. I think I decided I was going to get up. You know, it was back in the morning drive day, so my clock was kind of screwed up. And I put some coffee on, and all of a sudden I hear something outside. And I'm like, man, what the hell is that? And then I really didn't pay much attention. And then I heard a little more noise, and I look out the window, and I see someone walking out of our garage. And I'm like, why is someone in our garage? And I follow this person. I realize, hey, that's the previous owner of the house.
Oh, what an asshole.
Yeah. And he's carrying something, and he gets in. He puts it in the back of his truck, gets in his truck, and drives off. Turns out he took the primer, the wrong primer that he had used. He came and took the evidence.
Oh, what an asshole.
And absconded with it.
Clearly knew. It stunk for years for them.
He knew. He totally knew. And apparently he thought he was going to get busted or something. I don't know what he thought was going to happen. But he took it.
How devious to show up, though, at 6:30 in the morning.
I thought that was bizarre.
Yeah.
It was like, I mean, if he knew what it was, what was going to happen? I mean, how much money would even be involved?
No, couldn't he just say, well, do you think you're going to avoid the... the sale and move out. You had already been there.
You know, and there was stuff on, by the way, at the walkthrough, there were certain things.
Yeah.
And like there was a cracked window. And it was kind of a big window. It was like, oh, that's, you know, that's not going to be a small deal replacing that. And he's like, yeah, I replaced that window once. I think it's about $150. And yeah, I'll take care of that, you know. And so when, after the walkthrough, upon taking possession, it was, hey, that crack is still in the window. What's going on? You know, called the guy up. Oh, yeah, you know, it was a problem. They didn't have, you know, I ordered it, and it should be in next week. And I'm gonna do the work myself. It's like, okay. And we were learning that some of his work was not as good as...
Yeah, you know. He thought it was.
Yeah, no, it wasn't. There was a number of things that had to be corrected.
That's funny. That's like my father-in-law's, you know, he's a builder. He's a contractor. Uh-huh. So it's so funny when he walks to the house, he's like, oh, man, they really fucked this thing. Well, he didn't swear, but he's like, they really messed this up. They didn't know what they were doing.
Isn't it amazing?
Really? It looks fine to me.
Contractors are always beating up on the previous contractor. I mean, it's just...
Well, he's...
Contracting 101.
Clearly, I'm biased, but he does really good work. I mean, he's like Julie. They're both perfectionists, so you got to do the job the right way, and he totally will rebuild stuff.
But, you know, setting that aside, I think it is standard contractor 101 that the previous contractor was horrible and will be blamed for tons of shit.
Well, by effect. I mean, you wouldn't need the second contractor if the first one did good and good work, right?
Right. Well, you know, let's just say you've got a leak in your roof and the roof is like 9 years old. Like, it roof should be okay. I guarantee you the roofer will say, well, you know, I would probably advise getting a new roof because the previous roofer, you know, they should have done this. And, you know, when you think you've got maybe a little repair, actually they're telling you. I mean, a lot of times it's very convenient.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to mention names or anything like that or suggest that there's anyone close to me that would do or has done this. But I just think it's contracting. It's one-on-one. It's sort of like the punch list, you know, the 19 things, little things. You know, after a major project, that corner needs to, you know, maybe it's a painter, like, you missed a spot here, and, you know, that got a little paint in the window there. There's always, like, six things on the punch list that will be left just forever.
Always, no matter what.
No matter what. There will always be at least a couple things on the punch list will be just blown off.
Well, that reminds me, I still haven't told you what happened to me last night.
Oh, yes.
So yesterday,
just finish one on the thing.
Oh, yeah. Is there more?
Just one final thing.
Yeah.
Sold a house once, and the next owner
called you?
Calling all the time.
What?
Yeah, like, there's some mold, and it must have been here when you lived here. You know, what do you know about this mold? It's like, you know what? You had an inspector, and anything about that mold. Never saw it. You had an inspector, and remember we went through this? You wanted X amount of dollars, and we said, no way, and we settled on this, and that was the end of the debt. That's the deal. So as far as that goes, it's as is, beyond what we did.
Obviously. You
know. So, yeah.
How Weasley.
I know. It was amazing. And a lot of questions about, where's this? Or, you know, how's the alarm work? And, you know, stuff like that.
How annoying.
It was quite amazing.
Which is precisely why you don't want to call the previous owner. When you buy a house,
God no. I think eventually there was a call made to the realtor.
Oh God!
You asked them, and the realtor
knock it off.
Embarrassed, of course.
How do you use the alarm?
Yeah, it's
usually whatever.
There were so many questions. Like, but anyway, so last night you had quite a night.
Well, yes, it actually starts yesterday. I opened the back door, and I'm like, oh my God, it's a skunk! Somebody hit a skunk. There's a skunk around.
Oh, it's just stunk.
Just stunk like a skunk. And our neighbor, who we're really good friends with, I told you before, like, her dog is really my dog that just lives at that house.
Yes.
She works so much that I take care of that dog a lot. That dog loves me, even though its name is Breslin after, Breslin Arena or whatever it's
what
called.
What does she do that she works so hard?
She runs a country club. She does the catering and the events there.
Oh, wow.
So she's always there because there's always events.
Sure.
Works just crazy. It just works a ton.
She a party planner?
She handles all that for this country club.
Wow. Is it a swanky country club?
It's nice.
Yeah?
Yeah, it's pretty well known.
Not Oakland Hills, is it?
No. Oh, okay. It's West Side. But anyway, she calls Julie and she goes, can you go over to my house and open up some of the windows? Because Breslin's in there. Breslin got sprayed by a skunk last night.
Aww.
It turns out, I feel so bad for my neighbor. The coworkers had to tell her that she smelled like a skunk because she didn't know. She didn't realize she smelled like a skunk because her dog had been sprayed the night before and came in the house, and the whole house smelled of skunk.
Oh, God.
So we go over there, open up the windows for her, and come back home. I come over to the podcast. I return at night. It's 11 o'clock, and she calls Julie again. She had just gotten home, 15 minutes earlier, and she's like, there's an animal hanging in my house.
What?
And Julie goes, hey, Jen says there's an animal hanging in the house. And it's a bat. I mean, what other animal hangs?
So, right, it's a living animal that's...
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
She goes, and by the way, the dog, I call the dog a dumb blonde. It's the dumbest dog. Dog does not even notice that a bat is in the house. But the dog had pushed open a screen, and that's how the bat flew in.
Oh, God.
So I'm like, oh, yeah, it's a bat. She goes, no, I don't think it's a bat. I'm like, well, hanging is probably a bat.
The bat flew in from where? Where do fucking bats fly in from in Berkeley?
Trees? I don't know. Belfries? I don't know. Where do bats stay?
I mean, yeah, where are they just hanging out?
Bats are everywhere.
Are they really?
And they're important animals. They serve a purpose.
What's that purpose? Besides scaring the shit out of people?
To eat bad bugs. I mean,
what kind of bad bugs?
I don't know. I'm not Jack Hanna over here. I just know bats are good. They're disgusting though, and they do carry disease.
Oh yeah.
So next thing Julie goes is she wants you to come over and take care of it. I'm like, what am I gonna do?
What, Mark Fellhauer, bat expert?
So immediately it's like
bat disposal.
Okay, let me ask you, what do you do to get rid of a bat?
Me?
Yeah.
You're asking me?
Well, yeah, exactly.
I would try and get it out of the house somehow. I would try and get it to fly into a room with an open window.
So I equip myself with a full-length jacket.
Gloves?
Gloves, yep.
Like, mask? You have a mask?
The workman gloves. I didn't have a mask. I was like, at one point, I'm like, God, I wish I had a catcher's mask.
Yeah, if I had a mask, I would feel pretty cocky. I'd go after it.
Tennis racket.
Yeah, got to have a tennis racket. So it's the perfect implement.
I go over and I look at it. It's just hanging in the kitchen. Looks like it's sleeping. They're so gross.
Oh, God.
Open the side
hanging
door.
Hanging where in the kitchen?
The threshold going down to the steps to the basement. So there's a side door that leads to those steps, too. So I'm like, okay, we'll open the side door and we'll shoo it out that door. It'll fly away. She has a ceiling fan in the kitchen. I'll turn that on. It won't want to fly the other way. It's going to fly out that door. Everything's good. Because my first thought was, I'm just going to take this tennis racket and just whap it against the wall like a giant fly swatter.
Yeah.
But then,
of course, it'd be a beautiful wall at that point.
Exactly. So I didn't want to do that. So we're brainstorming, things still sitting there. So we decide I'm going to throw a towel at it, and it's going to fly out that door. So I give her, the neighbor, I give her the tennis racket. I'm like, if this thing flies, you just swing at it as best as you can. And I have a little plastic Tupperware thing in case I can catch it. I don't know what I'm thinking with that.
Good luck with that.
Yeah. Well, part of me was like, if I could just trap it against the wall, because I told you before I've been trapping those big-ass wasps.
Yeah.
That's how bored I am being unemployed. I'm catching bugs with my daughter.
Cool.
So I'm like, oh, I could trap it and then slide the lid on it and let it out, blah, 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 whatever.
What happened?
Throw the towel at it, and that thing, I swear, had like a 7-foot wingspan immediately.
Like a condor?
Yeah.
Went from a small bat to a condor. Yeah.
So it flies through the kitchen back at my head into her living room and just starts
Of course, I knew it was going to go into a part of the house where you did not want it to go.
Well, so then the front door, I'm like, this front door opens. Front door's right there. You know, sure. It's a little small Berkeley bungalow. And the thing is just doing these laps over and over in
starting in different directions constantly?
No, just pure circles.
Oh, just circles. Okay.
And Jen's my neighbor, she's got the tennis racket still. And I'm standing there. I'm like, okay, how are we going to shoot this thing towards the front door? And every time it comes by, she's just doing one of these blindly, like waving the tennis
missing
racket.
It.
And something just like clicked in her, like, if I'm going to hit this thing, I got to get serious. And then takes a swing and misses, comes by again. And just levels that fucking
woo
bat, shoots down straight to the ground, and is like on the couch now.
Oh.
Clearly dazed, but not dead. No blood or anything.
Oh boy.
So I throw the towel at it again and grab the tennis racket and squish it and put it into the Tupperware container. And I'm like, oh, it's in there somewhere. And I could see it smashed up on the Tupperware container.
Dead?
And thankfully, definitely injured. I mean, there's blood.
Oh.
Threw away the Tupperware container with the bat, with the towel and everything, because today was garbage day.
Oh, the towel was sacrificed too?
Everything was sacrificed. Everything was getting thrown away. Anything that came near that bat was getting thrown away.
Oh.
And it reminded me, and I don't know if you remember this or not, but do you remember when I first started at Riff, when I had the bat in the house in Ann Arbor?
Yeah, I do faintly remember that.
You have a vague recollection of that?
Yeah. Was Al involved?
No, we called my roommate, Matt, at the time. And you were trying to blare it out with music. Because what happened, I love this story. People that know me know this line too. But it's 3:30 in the morning, and I'm kind of waking up to get ready to come in to do the...
You called Matt?
Well, no. He's in his room. He wasn't home. It's just me. I'm the only one in the apartment. And the streetlights kind of shine this light into my room, and I'm laying there, and I wake it up, and I hear this... And I see this shadow move across my ceiling.
Oh.
Then I'm like, I'm immediately awake. I'm like, what was that? And then I hear and see it again. And I'm like, like a little girl. I run into the hallway and shut the door. I'm like, oh my God, I don't know what that is. Take a shower.
But this room no longer exists.
No, in my mind, no. I'm out of there.
Yeah, that room's done. It's now the apartment just lost 200 square feet of space.
So my roommate Matt, my buddy Oliver, my buddy Chris, Chris and Chrissy, these other people that we live with, they all come home at 3:30 in the morning from the bar, hanging out or whatever.
Woo!
Just.
Oh, they must have had some great ideas.
Just drunk. So I'm like, you're not going to believe this. There's a bat in my room. I don't know what to do. And my little buddy Oliver's like, I'll run in there and get your clothes so you can go to work. I'm like, okay. And then we're like, how do we get this thing in the meantime? How do we get it out of here? The drunken logic was, we'll scare it out. So we're making noise. The problem is this is an apartment with paper-thin walls.
Oh, yeah.
So we're kind of trying to take care of this bat, and all of a sudden we hear on the front door of the apartment at 3:30.
Oh, the front door.
Yeah, the main apartment door.
The dogs just heard that.
Oh, sorry, dogs.
Started barking.
So, Get my dog. So I opened the door. And we're meeting, you know, silent, like, oh, we were busted doing something. And it's my neighbor. And she just goes.
Let me guess, was she enlisted to help?
I think she might have been awakened by all the ruckus going on.
Was she pissed, or was she did the bat make it excusable?
Let's just say she was a she is a very feisty lady. I always knew she was.
Uh-huh.
And she walks in. She goes. she starts ranting and raving immediately about what is going on. We're like, we're really sorry. There's a bat. We're trying to find it. And she just goes, I don't care if y'all got a bat, a rat, or a flying dick in this apartment. Y'all need to shut the fuck up, and walks out and slams the door. A
flying dick.
And there's that moment where we all look at each other and just went, flying dick, and just immediately started bursting out in laughter. So a bat, a rat, or a flying dick has always stuck in my head. Like, what does a flying dick look like?
It looks like, remember when the great chess player Kasparov was having the press conference, and somebody
got hit by the dildo.
Threw a little drone with a giant
that's
dildo.
Right,
on
there's
it.
A flying dick.
That was
that's
hilarious.
Awesome, Drew. I totally forgot about that.
It's one of the funniest things I've ever seen in my life. Watching the people swinging at it and stuff. Like, it's a
that's
press
what we were
conference
like with the bat.
It's like a huge embarrassment. Like, oh my god, Mr. Kasparov's going to be associated with a flying penis. We must get rid of it. And the media people, when you watch that video too, you see people just laughing
their asses
off. They're just laughing so hard.
A flying dick. God, there's a literal flying dick.
Jay's already got it.
That's awesome. I have no idea what happened to that bat, by the way.
Really?
From that? No, it just never came back. However it got in, it found its way out. Probably from all the noise being created.
Listen to the crowd laughing.
Look at that thing.
Oh, that guy just whacked it. You're gay for hitting it.
It's flying into his mouth.
He touched it.
Shut your mouth.
We'll just beat it off while you're at it.
If I would have only known that my asshole neighbor was way ahead of her time knowing what a flying dick was.
I remember when I first looked this up, there was about 400,000 places you could see that.
Yeah.
I mean, it was like one of the most uploaded things in the history of mankind. Is this a different version?
No, it's the same one, but look at the views.
Oh, 1,490,000 views.
It's one of the best videos ever, the flying dick. That's funny. I totally forgot about that.
Was there another version of it you can bring up? I'm sure there is.
A bat, a rat, or a flying dick.
Yeah. Oh, there it is. I see four flying penises already on the looking down the page.
Wouldn't that be great if someone could do that with some of our press conferences that we've had in politics lately?
Sure.
What would Trump do if there was a flying dick? Hillary wouldn't know what it was.
Trump would make an inappropriate joke, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Really inappropriate and be deemed not
about its size. Well, he's already talked about how big he is.
Something like that. That's the longest one.
That's awesome.
I know there's... Oh, that is... God, is that funny. Oh, my God. All I say is if you're ever down in the dumps and you need something to turn you around, look for Kasparov and the flying penis. You can't not laugh at that. You know what I want to talk about? Because we were talking about animals, and this just sucks. The lacrosse team that killed the
gross eel?
Guinea pig.
Yeah.
I never dreamed the story could make me feel so bad. But here's how it starts. Robert Allen from the Free Press. A quivering guinea pig was made to decide its own fate when it was placed on a table where if it moved to one side, it would be spared, or to the other where it would be killed. What happened was that the team, the 10 people, they met and they went to the beach with the guinea pig. And they were going to, of course, sacrifice the guinea pig
yeah.
to win their lacrosse game. I mean, great idea. And five of the kids did not want to kill the guinea pig. They wanted, let's make it a pet, you know, one of those yeah. things. And so they put the guinea pig on a table with the five who wanted to save it on one side and the five that wanted to sacrifice it on the other side. And they decided whichever side it walked to.
Oh, God.
Yeah, and it went to the side, the kill side.
Oh, God.
I know, how terrible. Silly. But listen to this. Names the two guys of Grosse Pointe sat quietly with him to record his fellow Grosse Ile High School lacrosse players detailed the fatal slashing and beating of the guinea pig purchased at a local pet store and then killed last April on a Grosse Ile beach. The hapless guinea pig, at times quaking with fear, moved to the kill side.
Oh.
Mike struck it on the back of the head with a small bat, a witness age 15 said. Then it was dazed and struggling. You could see its foot kind of twitch. It was struggling to stand.
Oh, God.
I know, how sad.
I don't know. Animals of any sort. I don't know.
They're just so innocent. I mean, even a little guinea pig.
Even a bat.
The 15-year-old testified that after Ross hit the guinea pig with a small bat, another person came with a fixed blade knife and just put it out of its misery, stabbing it once or twice. The blood spread on the table. Some people dipped their fingers in blood and wore it as sort of face paint like you do in sports.
Gross.
One guy licked the blood.
Oh, man.
It was like Oliver's tongue.
That's disgusting. That guy, keep an eye on that guy for the rest of his life.
I know, honestly, God.
Dahmer in training.
That is a really bad sign for...
That's how Dahmer started, right?
Oh, that's how a lot of serial killers start.
Yeah.
I just felt so bad, this poor little guinea pig. And this guy was telling me how scared it was when he was carrying it around because it was, you know, in a strange environment. And he put it in his pocket and it calmed down. And then he brought it out. And it was quaking. It was shaking.
Know what
again.
Was going on. Why people are screaming at it to go to one side or the other. Hey, did Ted Bundy ever kill animals?
I don't know about that. Dahmer was big in killing animals.
I know Dahmer was. But I didn't think Ted Bundy was. I'll tell you why. This is another kind of a serious issue, shallow thought. Do you remember a story maybe 3 weeks ago about these two dicks in, I think, Redford that were hitting a duck with a stick?
Oh, yeah.
And that girl kind of came to the duck's aid and her boyfriend told him to knock it off and get out of there?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Okay. Well, within that story, there was a neighbor who pointed out how a lot of serial killers start by hurting animals like Ted Bundy did. And my first thought was, Ted Bundy didn't do that. Is she thinking of Dahmer? As if she should have the right serial killer reference in mind.
She should.
But I didn't think Ted Bundy did that. He was a handsome man.
I don't recall that. Were there any comments underneath the story?
Well, I was watching it on TV.
Oh, okay.
Not yelling, but talking back to my TV going, Bundy did? I thought everybody would have gone to Dahmer. Like, that's the obvious animal killer.
Clearly, he should be the person referenced because his animal killing was the most publicized of any of those
guys.
Exactly.
To best illustrate the point she was trying to make.
It was a poor reference on her part, definitely.
Okay. Very shallow.
One of the witnesses said that at the beach, some of them wanted to keep the guinea pig as a pet. Some of us didn't want to kill it, the 17-year-old said. But he said that since they'd already spent the money, some didn't want to see the animal end up as a pet. He said that one of the killers grabbed the guinea pig, put it on the ground, and said, "Let's just get it over with." The 15-year-old witness said Roth was holding the guinea pig to the ground. Tanner had a knife pressed to it. It started squealing.
Oh, God.
Tanner backed off because he couldn't do it, and I felt so relieved. The 17-year-old said the small animal was shaking, so he put it in his pocket. Once I put it in my pocket, it stopped shaking, he said. Short time later, the 10 took a vote about what to do. It was evenly split, so they put the small animal on a table and stood five on each side, coaxing it toward life or death. The two male witnesses said they didn't want the guinea pig to die. The 15-year-old said they'd been told to each bring $2 to pay for the small animal. And then, of course, it goes to the wrong side. Oh, I just hate that story.
Don't get me wrong. Guinea pigs are disgusting, and they're rodents, but
I don't want them dead. Think of an animal quaking like that.
Yeah.
Plus, I think of pigs as being kind of cute. I mean,
not a guinea pig. Guinea pigs
not
are
a
gross.
Guinea pig, no. But I was just thinking of like a regular pig. Just if a regular pig was acting that way, how sad it would be.
Yeah.
I mean, they're regular pigs.
Unless
really
Scoopin' was around.
Oh, yeah. God.
See?
That was all. I didn't like that either.
Look at that personality. Scoopin' killed that pig on Survivor and put blood on its face. The next thing you know, he's running a Ponzi scheme.
Oh, man. What? 15 years later. Child porn.
Child porn. I forgot about that.
What a bad MF-er he turned out to be. I just...
Scoops. You
know, I always thought there was something wrong with him. I just thought he was a big bullshitter. Just
yeah, bullshitter sounds about right.
Because on Survivor, you know, it was one of the first Survivors, and on those first shows, those people turned into giant celebrities because they were the first reality TV stars, and people weren't thinking, oh, they'll fade into the woodwork in another year. They were just thinking, wow, look at how big these nobodies have become. And when that show ended filming, when the season ended airing, all of a sudden, Keith Thamey and Scoopin, all of a sudden they were here, and people were desperate to interview him. I remember we were trying to get our hat in the ring, and it was just a huge fight to get either one of them on. And when he finally got Scoopin, he was good. He was a good interview. He was very talkative, and he was really full of himself. But I remember after we had him in studio, I think, didn't we have him in studio?
God, I can't remember.
We did. We had him in studio because I talked to him afterwards. And he was telling me about, I was like, well, so what does he do? Because I never could understand what he did. Just the explanation was very foggy.
Mm-hmm.
And so for about 10 minutes, he explains to me what he does. And afterwards, I had no idea what this guy did for a living. I mean, no earthly idea.
I was on Survivor.
Other than one of the things he did was he was a motivational speaker, which I thought was just so stupid. Why would he be a motivational speaker? What had he done?
He killed the pig.
That would be so... what grand success had he been part of that would make him someone to motivate people?
Do you remember, you know how controlling CBS was of the Survivor guests? Do you remember when I got yelled at?
The Survivor guests?
Yeah.
You mean on our show when they were guests?
Yeah.
Yeah, oh yeah.
And just how much they controlled them. I was thinking back as you were telling that story. Remember the very first bag that was kicked off the very first Survivor? Do you have any recollection of that?
I'm trying to remember. Not really, but if you
there was a story about her in the paper, you're like, hey, find this lady. Let's call her up and talk to her.
She the one that married her stepson?
I think that might have been a different Survivor.
It was Deb. Maybe we find some rocks. Yeah, we can build Deb. A shelter out of rocks.
I think your name is Deb.
Deb. It was Deb.
But it was some nobody that got kicked off that first Survivor, and of course she's listed, and we found her and called her up and talked to her. And CBS was furious.
Because we had found her?
Yeah. And that you have to be put through the interview. You have to put in an interview request.
Yeah, then you don't get the interview.
And then at that moment, though, it was like, for this contestant on the show, like, I didn't realize at that moment that these people would be celebrities.
I know.
That would need to be controlled by CBS. Well,
we talked to American Idol people while they were on American Idol.
Yeah.
Which was kind of strange.
Yeah, never.
Or we really talked to family members more than the people.
Never, yeah, like Ace
Young's father.
Ace Young's father. All about his belt buckles.
He was, he was on during the final season. He made a guest appearance, I think.
Ace Young did?
Yeah, he did. I think he did. I'm pretty sure.
Is he still hot? Did he have a giant belt buckle on?
I'm sure he did.
I'm kind of bummed I missed the last season of American Idol.
It actually was kind of entertaining because they did do a lot of replay stuff.
Yeah.
Old season.
Was Sanjaya on?
I don't think so. I didn't see him. That was funny.
God.
People voting for that guy just to embarrass the show.
Vote for the worst. That reminds. Have you watched Seacrest at all? He does the nighttime show now. It'll be on after the
local the 12:30 show.
Yeah.
Oh, that's how you see.
He is such a cheese dick, man.
I know he is. And absolutely,
he's interviewing sports people, which doesn't work because I feel like he doesn't know anything.
No, he doesn't
about any sport at all.
No, he's not an athlete at all. I don't even think he has any interest in athletics. So,
no.
But they've determined that the Olympics are not like normal sports. That for one thing, more women watch than men.
Really?
Yeah, viewers
I didn't
are.
Know that.
Yeah, more than half the audience is female, and it's much more about the backstories than the actual competition. People they don't really give a crap about learning why someone outswam someone or.
But a race is a race. Whether it's swimming or running or what, it's pretty easy to understand how a race of any sort works.
Today there's a big story about how NBC is getting really pretty much, I think, in some really heavy criticism for their coverage because Rio is an hour difference from the U.S.
Yeah.
So why are they delaying all this stuff until nighttime that people know happened hours and hours ago?
Well, it's happening tonight with the gymnastics because we know Simone Biles is doing the floor exercise. I already know what happened, and it's probably on right now or it's going to be on soon. Probably in the 10 o'clock hour, I would think.
Yeah, and a lot of people, they have the app, and they watch the race or whatever at work, and then they see all this buildup and all this backstory at night like it hasn't happened yet.
I know.
And they just feel stupid.
It's really dumb.
Nobody cares.
And I guess if it was in Europe like it has been, like the last one with London or some of the winter.
No, it's exactly games. What they said. When it's 5 hours difference like London, people sort of, they'll want to go along with that.
But an hour?
Yeah.
Big deal.
Hey, why don't we hit this Jim Harbaugh thing before we run out of time?
Okay.
Is this just the 30 seconds?
Yeah.
Yeah, Harbaugh, this was kind of interesting. Yesterday, he got a little snippy with the media over he had three players that were missing from the team photo, and someone, I guess, cross-referenced the team photo with the team and said, hey, there's three people missing. Is
three missing freshmen.
On? There must have been a tip-off, don't you think? Somebody asked that. It must have had a tip.
Although the way the question was, yeah, that's possible, Drew, but the way the question was asked, it was, I don't know, it could have been innocent. There's three people missing from the photo. Three high-profile freshmen are missing.
Yeah, it's kind of strange. So, anyway, here's how it goes with Jimmy.
Still in current good standing? Are they with the program and everything?
There's two of those players are suspended.
Who are they?
You know, I know you like to ask a lot of questions, but we'll handle that internally.
How long is the suspension on this guy? No.
That's why I don't give you any information because you're never satisfied. You always want a second question, a third question, a fourth question. I just said we'd handle it internally. Thank you.
Jim Beck.
Good. Thanks a lot.
We'll give you information, you just want more.
You got to admire the fact that he does what he wants, right?
Oh, he does, but you know, people don't always like it either.
I mean, I understand. Look, the reporter's doing his job, so it's kind
of
stupid for Jim Harbaugh to get mad at him. He's doing his job.
A little ridiculous.
But at the same point, he could just sit there all day and say, it's an internal matter. We're handling it internally.
This is not handled appropriately, though. There's three people missing. Two are suspended. It's not fair to the person that's not suspended to not say who is suspended.
He did, though. I thought he did mention the two, or did he not?
He says an internal matter.
Okay. It was known.
He did there. Did he come back and clarify it later or something?
You know what? Let me look. Because it was known pretty quick who the two were, because they were the two guys held out of practice, and the other one was actually practicing.
How long was the suspension on those guys now?
That's why I don't give you any information because you're never satisfied. You want a second question, a third question, a fourth question. I just said we'd handle it internally. Thank you.
Jim Beck.
Good.
Good. It's not, you know, it's not an official press conference either. It's kind of a gathering.
Well, when that came out, though, I mean, that was a big piece of information. And I can't imagine.
You're right. He didn't confirm there, but it was known pretty quick that that the two guys were who they were.
Yeah, and you know, I think what he's pissed about is what happened. I would imagine it's not. You know, you don't want two of your top recruits or two of your top freshmen getting suspended. It sucks.
You're right. He said two of those players are suspended. He should have just said who the two were.
Yeah, and I'm sure they would have clarified that eventually anyway. I just think that just happened in not the way he wanted it to happen.
Yeah.
And I'd read somewhere that when the team photo occurred, and I wish I could find this because I hate to be obtuse about it, but I thought I read that the reason some people were upset was because it was suggested that these people had an excuse. They were excused.
An excused absence.
Yeah, for whatever reason. And that they felt they'd been a little misled. But yeah, and that was not the way he wanted that to go down, I don't think.
And now Jim Rome is all over him and mad.
Jim Rome?
The same
what's
crap.
Rome saying?
Oh, just this, let's see, maybe you forgot over the
audio?
Summer that it's their job to cover your team, not asking you what your favorite Drake album is. Just like they're not there to write another tired story about your latest throwback jersey or your Walmart khakis or your latest shirtless photo from satellite camp or another attack on the SEC. I don't, was Harbaugh really pushing people to write about that, or did people write about that? Probably because it got views, it got clicks. People,
well, you know, he's really been a media star for the last year, over the last year. Since
some people
hate it, job.
Some people like it.
Well, what's, you know, how is somebody going to turn down that kind of attention? I think he has certainly grabbed for some of it in his own unique way. I don't think he's saying, look at me, but there's certain things that he's done. I mean, he makes a rap video or whatever. There's nothing wrong with that.
It is silly that he got mad at the reporter is doing his job. I don't even know who that was who asked the question. He is doing his job. He should have said who the two were suspended, were handling it internally, and then gone on from there.
And I don't think, you know, this is the part that I think is kind of shitty. This has been a pretty nice ride this guy's been on. Mm-hmm. I don't know where he gets the idea that reporters have been pounding him for this horrible information. I mean, really, when have people been digging so deeply into Michigan football that's been so awkward and uncomfortable for him? I just don't even see that.
I think
he just kind of snapped on the spot. He should apologize.
Here's the part of stuff. Here's the thing Rome said, which I think is a little wrong about Harbaugh being as miserable as he was in San Francisco, that he's miserable now. If anybody thought this was going to be a kinder, gentler Harbaugh since he went home to Ann Arbor to rescue the football program, make no mistake, it's the same exact guy. Nothing's changed. Same guy, same insanely intense dude that got run from Frisco because he was miserable. I think he left San Francisco as well. And you talk to a lot of people
They were going to run him, though. I mean, he wasn't coming back.
I know. I'm just sick of hearing this, like, he's going to last 4 years. He'll wear out his welcome. I just don't see that happening at Michigan. I don't see that happening in the college game. If he wins,
I don't
no
personally,
way.
You know, this is just my own opinion. I don't think it'll happen either. I think this is a unique experience for him.
Yes.
It's immensely positive because it's kind of like a dream job in a way. But I will say, the Stanford job, it sounded like he had rubbed a lot of people raw by the time he left Stanford. And that has been his way. And so it doesn't surprise me that people are suggesting the same thing will happen. I don't see it, though. I see a guy who is thriving and probably performing as well as he ever has or possibly can. I mean, he's a unique guy. I like Jim Harbaugh a lot. I think
to me, when you hear him say things about the city of Ann Arbor and it's where he grew up and he wants his kids to grow up here and go to the same school he went to, I think that speaks volumes.
Well,
is he going to rub people the wrong way? Yep. Is he going to get turned down for some of the things he wants to do? It's already happened.
What's he been turned down?
You know what? I got to find the list. There's some things he wanted to do, and they're like, nope, not yet. Not yet. I'll have to find. There's a list out there.
I think it'd be pretty hard for them to turn him down for much.
Sure, he's going to get most of the stuff he wants right now.
He's new. It's kind of a honeymoon phase still, and he had a dreamy first year. They won 10 games after winning 5 games the year before.
Yeah.
But anytime you get a guy who's coming back to his alma mater, and this is even more unique because he grew up there, it's an ideal situation for the school. Oh, Kinzer just dropped a pop-up.
This game's a loss already. Did they? With Verlander on the mound.
Verlander just
he
left
was
the game.
He's not anymore. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, the offense is
here's another thing.
Four starters.
Here's another thing Rome said about Harbaugh. It drives me nuts about how he can't beat Urmeyer when he's going to beat Urmeyer. Why he pulled a scholarship from a recruit. Good luck with any of that. That was the most overblown story, that offensive lineman that he pulled the scholarship from. When they told him, the guy from Illinois, I think he's in Nebraska now, when the guy told him, Harbaugh told him to start looking elsewhere, they wouldn't have the scholarship for him. And that story got so blown out of proportion. All I could think of that whole time is, why would the kid want to go here if Harbaugh doesn't want him? Why would you want to go someplace you're not wanted?
Yeah, well, you know, it's always a drag when somebody pulls a scholarship, obviously.
But it was never pulled. The previous coach is
the
one.
Oh, Brady Hoke gave a scholarship?
Yeah.
Yeah, and Harbaugh didn't. Well, yeah, you want to find a way out of that.
But wouldn't you want the kid to go to a school where he would be happy at, as opposed to coming here and not playing?
Yeah, of course. I mean, I think it's really hard to say when somebody at that level that they're going to never play or they're going to play a lot. I mean, until you get them in there and you practice for a couple of weeks and you find out what the kid's really all about.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, for whatever reason. But when you have an eye for talent, you kind of know what you want and what you don't want. And for whatever reason, you know, that's an awkward thing. I would think a lot of those guys would have a lot of people who were sort of mid-decision would have at least reconsidered what they were going to do until they found out, you know, well, how does he feel about me? I mean, I don't want to go. He's not the guy that recruited me. I mean, I went through that. I had a change of coaches in college, and it was a – we were talking about that today. It was kind of a drag because the guy who came in brought a first baseman with him who'd been recruiting for a year and a half.
See, that's BS.
But, you know, what was the – it was Franklin Stubbs. I mean, what was he going to do, not bring a superstar player? Of course he was going to. But it wasn't what I wanted to see because I've been told I was going to play first base. So I ended up DHing, which was okay. I mean, I got to play. I was always in a batting lineup, but, you know, I want to play first base. It's long over the bridge, though, and, you know, Franklin did okay for himself.
Yeah.
he proved himself pretty well, made the big leagues for 10 years or 12 years or I think it was longer than that even.
Well, it'll be really interesting to see what happens with Harbaugh if he doesn't beat the big two.
Yeah, the predictions were out this week with Michigan and Michigan State. The beat writers both predicted them to go 10-2. The only thing funny about the predictions was both writers were predicting their team would beat the other.
Oh,
Rex Rhodes said Michigan State would beat Michigan, and Angelique said Michigan would beat Michigan State. What were you saying? It'll be interesting if he doesn't do what?
If he doesn't beat both of them or one of them.
Well, they're both on the road, so they may not be favored in those games.
Well, the only game, according to advanced metrics and BPI, the only game they should lose would be the Ohio State game. Remember, they have to go to Iowa, too.
If they go 10-2, I don't think anyone can complain after what this program's been through the last 8 years.
If they go 10-2.
They can complain, but I don't think they have a right to complain.
Frankly, they need to win the East. They need to make it to the Big Ten championship.
Well, I think it would be nice, but look at what the program has been through. Look at Brady Hoke's 4 years. How can somebody be expected to win the conference the second year there?
Because you can turn it around that fast at big schools.
You can, but to expect it is expecting an awful lot.
Yeah, it's just how we look at things there.
Well, okay. Go ahead and be disappointed. Run him out of town if he loses two games.
I don't want to run him out of town. Just high standards.
Well,
we have the jump man on the uniform.
Oh, no. We don't have enough time for that. We will. The 411 Lady J, do we know if she'll... is she answering her phone? Or should we just try it? This lady calls 411... Or 911. 411. She calls 911. Apparently, her husband is, I think, disabled, and she can't really... She has a hard time getting him out of bed, and so she just calls 911.
Wait, what?
Yeah. So she's been told to stop calling 911.
Call 911! What?
Yeah.
To get him out of bed?
Yeah, it's a little tricky.
That's asinine. And so do they come over and get him out of bed?
Yeah, they have been.
Hey, really?
Yeah.
Oh, I was joking.
The fire department.
That's a good use of public resources, huh?
Is he disabled, Jay? Isn't that what is she?
Like borderline.
And it's to get him out of bed, right?
Just to get him up and out of bed.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, she's not strong enough.
Why are you calling so late?
What?
Oh, I'm sorry. Didn't mean to call. I didn't realize it was late, Shirley. It's only, just after, close to 9 o'clock? Oh, you want to call? Try her back?
I think the real question is, why are you sleeping so early?
Yeah, she's up.
Sleeping.
I think I can turn it around, hopefully. Right. If she'll listen to me. If she gives me 30 seconds, I think I can turn it around.
She did sound a little sleepy.
She reminded me of she sounded like, and I know she's an older lady, she reminded me of the granddaughter. Said, wait, hey, grandma, what's...
Grab my hand phone, I'm sick of tired here.
Hello?
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 Yeah, I'm sorry, I just got disconnected. I was calling because I was so upset that I saw that they're asking you not to call 911 anymore, and I just wanted to issue my support. We're calling from our broadcast here. Mark, it's the Drew and Mark program, and we were upset to see that that they were asking you not to call for help, and I thought that was an outrage.
Where are you located?
We're in Michigan.
Oh, well, today my husband did fall, and we did have to call 911.
Oh,
we
no.
I'm out to help him, and he thought he could pick him up, and that wasn't correct not to call 911. That wasn't it.
Well,
my husband's disabled.
Yes.
Set the story straight. He's disabled. I guess you saw the video?
Yeah, well, we saw
everybody
yes, we did see the video.
I didn't see the video.
Everybody saw it the world over, huh?
Yeah, pretty much,
we
yeah.
We must have made the Guinness Book of Records, huh?
I know.
What's their problem with you calling 911?
No, it isn't the 911 number for them. We were just using, calling the, and we called the non-emergency number, but we were calling the fire department, like fire and rescue.
Yeah.
Just to lift him up out of bed and put him in his wheelchair.
Right, because you can't get him out of bed every morning, so the fire department comes over and does it for you, right?
They rescue him from his bed.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Right. So, well, that's, you know, if you need help, you need help. I mean, what are you going to do?
That's what they said. The firemen all said that, too.
I mean, you pay your taxes.
Yeah, the firemen said, that's why we kept calling them. The firemen said, if you need help, call us. We're right around the corner. There's a mile and a half away. But then some of the chiefs got hold of it, and how many times we'd called, and we were wasting. And some of the neighbors here, I don't know which one it was for sure, I have my idea, called the Channel 3 News, and that's how it got on the news.
Oh, I see.
And they said they were getting angry emails that we were wasting the...
resources?
Virginia Beach's taxpayers' money.
Why would a neighbor...
pay taxes, though.
Yeah, you pay taxes.
Well, she didn't even pay... One, I think, didn't even pay taxes.
Oh,
well,
that's horse crap.
Did. But well, had to be somebody seeing the fire truck here every day.
Yeah, well, why don't they, you know, have you talked about maybe instead of calling any kind of number at all, if you talk about maybe having the fire department just come over at a certain time every day?
Well,
make an appointment?
They wouldn't really, I guess, be allowed to do that. Everything had to go through the dispatcher.
Oh, I see. So are you calling a non-emergency number now instead of calling 911?
Yes, I see Bill. Now, today, I wasn't going to call him again because that was Thursday, so he came over here. And I wasn't going to call him, so I've had him in bed. And we're in the process of getting one of those Hoyer lifts and some another man that's in health care that are private concern. And
sure.
He helped our friend that's disabled. So he's going to come, and we're going to have to get a Hoyer. But he's going to have to stay in bed. Few more days till that goes through the Medicare.
Yeah, so you're going to need some help in the meantime. And those firemen, sounds like they...
I just have to keep him in the bed.
Oh, he's staying in the bed, but that's not good. Doesn't he want to get up every day?
Oh, yeah, he wants to get up.
And doesn't it sound like the firemen, it sounds like they want to help him out of bed every day?
Oh, yeah, they didn't mind coming. They said that's our job. It's
cheap. Are you okay?
Well, bless those guys. Isn't that nice of them to want to do that every day?
And I didn't hear. Oh yes, they've been wonderful to us.
Wow, that's really nice.
No,
I mean, you really need them.
So you are okay.
Nothing wrong with the fire department. No, all of them said that's our job. They so good to my husband. They tell him come in, talk to him, tell him about all sports, and come in.
Oh, that's so great.
They even had a picture made with him and put it up on the fire station in 1 year.
Wow,
they got his picture up there. Seems like you could have a standing appointment every day where they just like if he gets like up at 8 o'clock, couldn't they show up at 8 o'clock every day and just skip the phone call?
Unless he wants to sleep
in. Well, I guess they can't do that.
They can't do that.
We know with the fire chief.
Or maybe one of the guys on their off day could just come over at 8 o'clock. I mean, just seems like it'd be so much easier.
I wondered about that too. And then there was one going to help us, and that didn't work out really good. So
isn't there a device that can lift him out of the bed into the chair or no?
Yes, that's what we're going to get.
Is that the Hoyer? Is that what she's talking about?
Hoyer. I couldn't. We had one last year, and I couldn't get this. I was going to use it myself, and I couldn't. And he was a little bit leery of the thing. And as long as the fire department were coming and getting him, then that was all right. We were just sticking with that, you know?
Shirley, admit it's kind of cool, though, that when that big fire truck rolls up, though, right? I mean, fire trucks are pretty badass.
Tell George George. He has a little bit of problem talking here, but
okay.
And he was eating his dinner because we were so late doing it.
Hey, what happened to George? Why is George disabled? What happened to him?
He had two backs, or he had spinal cord problems. His spinal cord was fat in his neck, and it's been like this since 2005. Before he quit work, he did heavy lifting.
Uh-huh.
He worked and did for Moser, which was bank security company, and then they went bankrupt in 2001, and he went to work for ADT. So he's done a lot of hot, heavy lifting with his work. And
okay.
And he's been like, he was only about 62 or something like that. He wasn't really old enough to retire when it started happening to him.
No, that's not.
And he went back and worked. He went back and worked till he couldn't walk anymore.
Mm. Wow, so that is a long
women
story.
Women wanted to push him around at the hospital where he was working, putting in lungs. Wanted to push him around in a wheelchair. He said, "I don't think that ADT would think good about that." So.
Heck no. Well, yeah,
anyway,
put George on the story. Put George on the phone. I'd love to talk to him.
I will.
What
did
Phoebe say?
I love that story.
I love that story. Does this story have an end?
It's pretty simple.
I think then you're standing a point.
Hello.
Hey, George, how are you?
I've been better.
I know. Just Drew and Mark calling from our broadcast here in Michigan, and we heard about somebody, a neighbor apparently complaining. She doesn't like the fire department coming over. What's wrong with the neighbor?
He's a loony tunes.
Yeah, really? Total loony tunes.
Are they really? I mean, do they have mental problems?
Well, as far as I'm concerned, they do.
Yeah. Does a fire truck, does it come with the siren on and everything?
No.
It doesn't. Oh. Well, then why how does it bother them?
If we do that, then...
I mean, I just can't imagine why that a neighbor would have a problem with that. Somebody's coming to help you, and they have a problem with that. I mean, you pay taxes.
George, I'm gonna call and complain that they don't have the siren on. I want that siren on when they're coming to help you.
I don't want it on.
Oh. Okay. I won't complain then.
You're pretty strong about that, George.
Just the lights, no horn?
No.
Or no lights? Maybe no lights.
No lights?
Yeah,
and just the
like
horn, just the siren?
He didn't like to draw attention to himself. How you feeling, George? George.
Uh-oh. Oh. George,
there he is.
They did blow the siren a few times when they came right to our house.
Cool.
And they had emergency.
The rabbit ears.
Because we were considered non-emergency, and they
absolutely
took off and they left. Yeah, and then when that video said that it's not too much, I was so flabbergasted when I saw that.
I was
and
too.
They said, are these people putting you in danger? You know, and that's what the woman did. It came in with the thing.
Right.
And then she asked how much it would be if I didn't, how much it would cost if they didn't come. And I said about $150 a day. And then when she did the video, she said, they're wasting your tax dollars, but they're saving $150 a day.
Well,
and, you know, people, and we've been, I was a hairdresser.
A
and
you're saving $150.
We've been here 32 years. We moved from Baltimore.
Yeah.
We knew so many people, and George was at worked with people, worked at the bank, and I was a hairdresser, and knew a lot of people, and everybody saw it, and our friend up in Maryland saw it, and our friend John in Florida.
Yeah.
I just called him today and told him.
Yeah.
And
told
he
me.
Was here
that Detective John Kimball?
He was here. Pardon?
Yeah, Mark was just saying that he hopes that George gets a little better and maybe, you know, eventually, with the Hoyer lift, it'll all work out. And nosy neighbor getting involved.
And she's the one who said, she asked actually why I think it was her, the woman that did it.
Yeah, why do you think that?
She may have sent more than one email because she asked one of the fire captains one day. He came in and said, and was laughing. And said, I said, that's the first time I've seen you laugh, Joe. What's so funny? And he said, well, this woman come out of the court. We live in a court at the edge of the court at the street. And come out of the court and said, why are you coming up here two times a day and getting food? And he started, he said,
food?
You know about
food. What's the
she
food
talking about?
What's the food after
I made him some brownies.
Oh, is that a crime?
And
what a nosy neighbor.
And they were carrying it out, and she saw something wrapped up in foil. She thought it was. And so, but he hadn't been there that long, so he didn't get any brownies, so he didn't know what the food was either.
Well, I'm so glad
we
investigated.
Do you want to go over there and just give her a piece of your mind? Tell her to mind her own business?
I will.
Yeah.
I'd like to see her take care of George. House.
Yeah.
Pardon?
I'd like to see what she would do if her husband was having problems like that. She'd be calling 911 every five minutes.
She got divorced from her husband and moved in with her mother.
I can see why.
She lives upstairs in her mother's house, and her mother doesn't pay taxes because she gets off on the senior citizen deal, low-income citizen senior.
Oh.
Maybe she nagged her ex-husband.
Senior citizen deal. Yeah.
Yeah, so pays no taxes. And what right does she have to do to complain about how tax dollars are spent when she doesn't contribute any?
She's so nosy.
And she's
a beast. Husband said, George said, next time put you there. This phone I got doesn't have a speaker on it. Oh, let's see. Hold on. Can we get him back on the speaker?
Ah. I like the way Shirley's directing traffic here.
Yeah.
Shirley, I'm so glad that the fire department's taking care of you people when you have trouble and, you know, in your 70s and all.
Yeah.
You need a little help. And it's
good. I agree.
I'm so glad to hear those guys are happy to help you out. I think it's great. And this nosy
they
neighbor
just didn't want, just get I understood bent. It, and I didn't see the follow-up on it. There was a follow-up, and I wasn't here.
Uh-oh.
But I guess that's George, when okay. he said he couldn't call 911 anymore.
George just bellowed.
Is George okay?
Did George make a noise?
Yeah, his leg. I think he's stretching out. Is your legs bothering him, George?
No.
Stretch. He's lying on his back in the bed because I was having to feed him his supper in bed.
Well, it's kind of difficult with you talking like that.
He can't get up now. But the guy came today. It was going to help us with the hoy. He thought he could pick George up by
Maybe the fireman can come over now and help
he
him out.
He realized
help him stretch.
True.
What?
Something I can stretch it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Shirley, you know what? We have a commercial break coming up, so apparently we have to get going, but I'm
stretch
just
it.
I'm glad to hear
all
that.
Of it.
And you're from Michigan, who'd you say you were?
Happy ending.
We're with the Drew and Mark program.
Okay. Did you have me on the radio?
Yeah.
Well, a guy called here on talk radio the next day, and so many people had called wanting to help us.
Yeah.
And he said to me, he said, you're not supposed to ask a lady your age, but how old are you?
I know,
and I said, well, Channel 3 said I was elderly.
Oh,
well, you don't sound elderly.
People throw those crazy terms around. It's wild.
You don't sound elderly. I said, well, sorry. I said, all I heard was my mother. I said, I sounded just like my mother.
No.
I said, and my West Virginia accent.
You sound like a young lady.
My southern accent. And he said, where are you from? I said, West Virginia.
Red, white, blue.
Where are you in Michigan?
We're in the Detroit area, actually.
We have a friend. Friend had been here about the same time we were in Detroit, and then his father lived up on St. Clair Shores.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
He's in the high rent district.
Well, he had a house up there.
Kind of, sort of.
Up there on the lake, and he passed away. He was about 97 years old.
Bless him.
His wife died, and he moved in with his daughter in Pittsburgh, and we called him all the time.
Well, that's nice of
you. Did they have to call 911 for him? Probably.
True.
No, he was in good shape.
Oh, good.
But he didn't live here. He lived in Pittsburgh. No, he was in good shape.
Good.
Up to almost till he died. He was still walking, but he had kidney problems.
I'm sorry to hear that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, we're going to have to go, Shirley, but thanks for the information. So nice.
Send George our best.
Yeah.
Yeah, and one of we couldn't call 911, I guess. And the fire chief said that.
We said bye. We got to get going, kind of.
Due to the aging population, more people were calling.
Oh, well, I'm glad you got some calls, Shirley. Thanks again for your time.
We're getting some help.
Good.
All right. Hang in there, George.
Yeah, good luck, George.
See you, George.
Adios.
Hello.
Oh, George. Oh, my God. George, good luck to you, my man.
Thank you.
Okay.
All right,
God bless
you, brother.
Yeah, bye-bye.
Have a good night. See you. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye, Shirley. Bye, Shirley.
See you, Shirley.
Bye, Shirley.
I was afraid she was going to come back to the phone.
I couldn't believe when George came out, I was in shock.
I know, I didn't know what to do. I thought we were going to be stuck for another 20 minutes.
Oh my God, can she talk?
I know.
Wow.
I feel so bad for her, but you can't be calling. That fire truck can't be rolling up twice a day to move George.
That's incredible, twice a day.
I mean, he's a sweetheart of a man.
I'm in the fire truck.
He has to listen to Shirley all day.
I know.
In terrible shape.
My God. Couldn't they just bring a van or something or in the fire truck?
Yeah, it's not like you don't know what the call's about.
I mean, you know, there's probably like 10 neighbors are going, can you imagine how much that's costing that fire truck twice a day?
Or is it more about the sirens blaring?
And you know, somebody's going, oh, they need a damn Hoyer lift. Why don't they get a Hoyer lift like everybody else does instead of calling 911 every day, twice a day?
Oh, poor Joey. By the way, I love that. I know who's calling in. She's got that old. What if it's not that person? She has no proof that lady, the divorcee, is the one that's calling.
Oh, I know. Who pays no taxes? Her mother pays no taxes because she's low income.
Oh, man. What a bummer.
I know. Yeah, life sucks. It sucks, sucks, sucks.
It's a nice area of Virginia Beach, huh?
Yeah, there's a lot of nice nice areas around. I mean, a lot of nice burbs around there for sure. Hey, you know what we never did was the Sean, the Flying Tomato.
Oh, Sean White. Yeah.
This would be a good way to wrap, I think.
Sure.
This, you know, you were reading it before, and I thought it was really funny. It's almost like, I don't know, I didn't think it was harassment as much as, I don't know what to call it. It's weird.
Well,
it's like, this guy is weird. It's a band, it's a female drummer, and it crosses the line here and there, but most of all, it's just strange. Like, I guess this is...
Don't you wonder what the relationship is, though?
Yeah, I do. It's unclear. His are the clear ones, right? And the blue ones are her.
Oh, you want to see the unedited pictures, by the way? Because Deadspin, since we've started the podcast, Deadspin put up the unedited. Jake can pull him up over there. Deadspin has put up the unedited text that he sent to this girl that was a member of his band. I just wonder, you know.
Well, that might help.
I wonder because. Is it because they're in a band together and there's some commerce that this is harassment, or are they friends?
How much commerce is there?
Not much.
I don't really know. Let's just look at some of the.
I mean, she didn't like it.
Oh well, yeah. That text is probably not.
Which one? Can you read it?
The blowjob one. The girl's giving a guy a blowjob.
Oh yeah, that's a video.
Lena just saw some of the pictures from Form Warner Brothers shot at Snap Studio and Mates Practice. And you are in your fleece sweater. I'm just really disappointed. For the last time, please don't wear that around me or the band.
What?
If I see it, I'll be forced to ask you to go home. Thank you.
I'll be forced to ask you to go home.
And then
I don't want to tell you to go home, but I'm just forced to go home.
Then he asks her, "Where are you?" "No, just wanted to hit you up. Call time for tomorrow is 1:45. I need you to go out in the morning and have your hair cut in a new style at shoulder or above, but keep your bangs. This is really important to me. Thanks." Okay, now, just right off the bat, the first thing I thought of when I read that was, he has maybe, like, the worst-looking hair. I mean, as I remember it back in his day.
Yeah, the Flying Tomato days.
Yeah, people used to talk about his stupid hair. Now it's cut really short now, and it's brushed back, and he thinks he's hot now.
Yeah. Oh, I think he always thought he was hot.
I know. I never dreamed that he could, but, yeah, I think he did. And then she says... he says, thanks at the end of that. After telling her how to style her hair, which who tells a girl how to style her hair? What guy?
An asshole.
Exactly. Are you in your room?
Or Bill Cosby. Oh, wait, no, he's an asshole. Never mind.
Are you in your room and open to talking in person right now?
I'm at dinner, then have to take an important call. We've just talked about it for a while now, and I think it's time.
God, how controlling.
I know that you're busy, but my own image is a... Oh, my own image is a very important issue for me. So if we can talk in person tonight, that'll help us both out. I need you to know that I'm very confident and happy with my long hair and that I'm not willing to cut it.
Well, then that's the end of the story. Don't cut it.
That's disappointing. Are you sure this is the decision you want to make?
I mean, is this band of any consequence?
No.
I mean, she's obviously very, she's very deferential to him. I mean... almost any chick would be saying, "Would you just get fucked? Are you kidding me?"
Mm-hmm.
But she,
well, she's in a band with him, though.
Well, it just tells me that he runs the band, but he's out of control in terms of his bossiness.
He runs the band just like Doyle Hargraves.
So the last thing she said, "Are you sure this is a decision you want to make?"
"Yes, I'm very confident in this decision. If you want to keep discussing band style, showmanship, or anything else." Show-related, I'm
willing to, I don't know, I'm willing to talk or something. That's disappointing. Are you aware this is a decision? Oh, wait. Oh, I'm very, okay, I'm sorry. I'm always down. I feel like having more open conversation with everyone about these topics would help us out in the future. Now, your decision to not do what I'm asking. Next page. You cool with this outfit? And then she's got this picture of her drumming in what looks like there's nothing wrong. Is there anything wrong with that outfit?
Well, you can see the nipples. But I mean, it's a see-through shirt. You can see the tits.
Isn't he asking her to be like more revealing than less revealing? Isn't she the fleece she's complaining? He's complaining about because isn't it like
he sent that to her? He sent that picture to her. You cool
with
this outfit?
Oh, I see.
He sent it like, hey, you got to wear this.
Oh, this see-through thing. Yeah, okay.
You got to wear this. You cool with this outfit?
Okay.
Put this on.
And there's another one he sent to her, which is really, I mean, it's like a thong, practically.
Yeah.
You know, and she's drumming.
Mm-hmm. Nice band. I'm sure that's going to be the success of their band or not. So this is a big lawsuit that she filed back in May.
Uh-huh.
And there's some more information here after he sent the text about cutting the hair.
Yeah.
Sean White, the Flying Tomato, refused to talk to her for the entire next day. White went on to terminate pay for all band members and reinstate the previously contracted $3,750 per month retainer for all members except for her. So in other words,
so she's out of the band.
Yeah. Yeah. When White's manager called to tell her that she was no longer in the band, she wasn't even given a reason why. 76-page lawsuit.
Jeez.
Includes other examples of harassment. It said White once yelled out, "Hey, have you seen this video?" And then showed her a video of a couple killing a bear and then having sex on top of it.
Hot.
That's not even like... well, whatever. Another time, the complainant said White forced her to watch a video called, quote-unquote, Church of Fudge, in which the complainant describes as hardcore porn involving a priest, a nun, and fecal matter.
Oh, that's nice.
She was 17 or 18 at the time. She went along with it because she did not, quote, she did not want to cause problems with the band or be terminated. There were more sexually explicit videos, according to the complaint. When shown them, Zoedia or Zoede, or however her name is pronounced, says she would say, ew, and walk away. White knew this made her uncomfortable, the lawsuit said, but kept doing it. There were other types of harassment as well. When she had a boyfriend, he told her, don't forget to suck his balls. Hey, my drummer, don't forget to suck your boyfriend's balls. There are also examples that show White's behavior towards other people as well. The complainant says that she once saw him tell a cab driver, you suck a dick for a living. What? A representative for Sean White said about the text messages, many years ago, I exchanged texts with a friend who is now using them to craft a bogus lawsuit. There's absolutely no coincidence to the timing of her claims, and we would defend them vigorously in court.
Vigorously.
He sounds like such a dick.
Prick, yeah. I saw at the end of this conversation her saying, God damn it, and your newborn children will not be spared. And he says, come on, be a team player.
I mean, I would think, okay, if you want to be a weirdo and show this girl porn because she's in your band, maybe it's a little looser in your band, whatever. But after she is clearly appalled by it the first time, you might want to stop, maybe.
Is there any audio of the band? Any music from the band?
I think they play under the Doyle Hargreaves band.
What's the band's name?
Bad Things.
I know what Doyle Hargreaves' band sounds like. I like that fill she did.
That fill she did. Listen to Sean White rocking out the bass.
This whole thing really kind of makes me sick the more I think about it.
Sean White or the Doyle Hargreaves' band? Oh, okay.
I love this band. Do we have anything of his band, seriously? Is there anything of his band?
Bad Things, no.
Nothing online?
I haven't found anything.
He's got three band members on retainer for $3,700 bucks a month, and they're not online? That seems incredible
to
me.
Bad Things band. Oh, here it is. Wait, no. Oh, Caught Inside. There's a song called Caught Inside, Jay.
We got him.
Ugh.
Oh, there she's in the drums. Smattering of applause.
Thank you so much.
Oh, there's her. That's her.
How did you start your band?
I first started playing with Sean and Anthony a while back. And when we moved to L.A., we met Jared and Davis through acquaintances. And it really started to form then with their musical influences and the sound. Really,
you guys spaced out yet? Because I spaced out.
I would say that.
When
Bad Things really evolved into what it is today.
Nice modulation, that's for sure.
They need to hire a new sound man. How many people do you think went to see them because Sean White, Olympian, is in the band?
Oh, probably everyone. He looks like a real dubious guitar player, I gotta tell you. Just watching him play. Yeah, she doesn't look like the best drummer I've ever seen either. No, this band looks like a big fucking joke.
Yeah. Well, not anymore. She got a nice suit against him.
I mean, Jay, do you see anybody who can play in that band?
How did you make your name? It's actually from a YouTube video of this little boy who steals his grandma's car, and he says that he wants to do bad things.
Oh, how cool.
A few of your members came from other bands. Did they bring something from their bands to the band?
Who is interviewing her?
What they bring, I mean, Davis does bring the attitude of his old band.
That's what I was thinking. Jared, Davis really does bring that attitude.
The production side to our music.
Oh my God, her drumming looks so arbitrary.
Song structures.
Oh, wow, she whacked that cymbal. Oh God, he just looks like such a dick. Okay, bad things.
I found out more. I'm reading the complainant as that was playing.
Okay.
The complaint. Later, this is about the cab driver. Mm-hmm. White continued his drunken and vulgar behavior around Zawade. After leaving the club, White, her, and other band members got into a cab to return to their parked cars. Inside the cab ride, White started insulting the cab driver. Sean White called the driver a cocksucker at least 10 times, and then yelled to the cab driver, "You suck dick for a living." This vulgar behavior made her extremely
jerk.
I know, made her extremely uncomfortable. After exiting the cab, White continued his inappropriate behavior by smashing a bottle on the ground when a passerby called him washed up. Sean White uncontrollably started screaming and became volatile. White continued to exhibit similar volatile behavior around Zoeda when he drank alcohol. "Hey, Sean White, you're washed up." "No, I'm not." Smash a bottle on the ground, you baby.
What an idiot. Well, remember he had that half pipe built in his backyard?
Yeah.
When he was a superstar kid?
Yeah.
Which I think he paid for with money he won.
He's loaded, man.
Oh, yeah, he's totally loaded.
Video
which
games.
Which is why this is such a joke. He's got a band on retainer. The members are on retainer.
Ooh. On October 2010, White threw a Halloween party at his house and invited her. At the Halloween party, White became intoxicated, came up to her, and tried to kiss her on the mouth.
Whoa.
She rebuffed his advances and put her arms up to stop him from kissing her. She told him no and walked away. She left the party. Shortly after this incident, I wonder.
So grossed out.
I wonder if that really bothered him.
Oh, I'm sure it did. Probably broke a bottle.
Well, it was right after that. That's when
he responds the same way OJ does to adversity by breaking stuff.
That's when right after that's the don't forget to suck his balls. About her boyfriend.
God, what a nightmare.
I know.
This thing about her hair is and what to wear.
Yeah.
How dare him?
How would you like to suck my balls?
This loser fucking band. I mean, this is a loser band. Mm-hmm. And he's acting like it's life and death what she wears and how her hair is cut, whether she should have bangs or long.
Hey, that's the key
to he to say that?
Key to the band's success.
Oh, my God.
Sounds like she wrote some of the songs, so it's according to her complaint.
This is the danger of putting a lot of money in a young idiot's hand like Sean White's. I mean, look at the misery that can be created.
You're 100% correct.
He's telling girls how to style. I mean, he is one of the more unstylistic people I can ever remember in the Olympics, to be honest.
Of course, now he's got his hair cut and brushed back, and he looks like he thinks he's hot.
But we all know he has an abnormally big wiener.
Yep, and a fire crotch. Don't forget to suck his balls.
A complete ass.
He continued, this is in 2013, Sean White continued to act inappropriately around her. For example, one time the band was practicing, White stuck his hands down his pants, approached her, stuck his hands in her face trying to make her smell them.
Oh my God.
Sean White found this hysterical. She was appalled. Another time, White put his buttocks directly in her face.
Nice.
Still another time, White grabbed her buttock shortly after leaving practice for the day.
Ooh. Well.
He so wanted this chick, and she did not want anything to do with him.
No. But who turns down the gold medal winner?
I'm the flying tomato, man. What the fuck?
I mean, would this guy ever get laid if he didn't win a few gold medals? No.
No.
Never.
So.
Never. A band. I mean, this is, think about how sad this is. This guy, okay, his life is peaked. He won gold medals. He does one thing really well. He's an Olympic star. He makes a lot of money off it. So now he's rich. And what is he going to do with himself? I'm going to be a rock star.
Yeah.
Then we're going to tour. I'm going to put you on retainer, all three of you guys. I'll handle the styling.
So he's, well, speaking of styling, not only the fleece sweater in her hair, he also made her change her lipstick. She apparently always wore the same bright red lipstick, and he didn't like that.
Wow, this guy's this is really scary. I mean, what is this guy? How is this guy going to fill the next 50 years? I'm frightened to think about that.
By bossing some chick around, or trying to at least.
Well, wouldn't you think this guy would find something to do sort of in the snowboarding industry? That would be the...
Well, he licenses his name forever, right?
How do, what do you mean he licenses his name?
Well, I mean, he's Shaun White. He's a well-known Olympian snowboarder.
Sure.
He can license it to... snowboarding apparel or video games.
Well, he could train snowboarders. I mean, he could have
How will he spend his own time?
Yeah. I mean,
make a clothing line. Apparently, clothing he's really into fashion.
Oh yeah, he was always so fashionable. Oh god, this is just really gross. Just what a jerk.
February 2014, Shaun White participated in the Sochi Olympics. While White was away, bad things continued to write new songs and practice approximately 5 to 6 days a week. After losing in the Olympics, Shaun White became increasingly hostile and threatening, especially towards her. For example, on a few occasions when the band was practicing, Shaun White gestured that he was going to backhand Zoeda. What an asshole.
He's gonna what?
Backhand her, like slap her. He yelled out uncalled for remarks such as, "I'll fucking slap you." He would threaten to hit her. All because he lost in the Olympics.
What a fucked up jerk.
Yeah.
Oh my
god. Wow. Oh my god, they played the Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon.
What?
Yeah. 2014.
Oh, because he's Shaun White. Why else?
Before going on the Tonight Show, White simply I don't know, it's hard to read. Told her, "I don't want you wearing this color lipstick," in reference to a red lipstick again. Shaun White bought her a shirt for the appearance and instructed her to wear it. She felt like she could not make any decisions in the band, including the color of lipstick she wore.
Do you do this to the guys in the band too?
She doesn't say that though. Wow.
What guy is going to have Shaun White tell them what to wear?
Wait. March 14th, they were on the Tonight Show. May 5th, they performed a prom in Pennsylvania. I'm really confused by that.
I'm really, they don't have hit records.
No, I've never even heard of them.
I mean, like, there's no way they have thousands and thousands of downloads or anything like that. I've never heard of this band.
Shortly after, they played the Silver Lake Lounge in Los Angeles.
Ooh.
After performing the show, Shaun White again acted inappropriately towards Zoeda. While the band was unloading their equipment, White yelled out to her, "Suck my dick!" What an asshole.
He is so classy and so creative.
What a piece of shit. "Suck my dick. Don't need to suck his balls."
Oh, here he's on Fallon.
What color lipstick does she have on? Please tell me it's bright red.
I don't see the band yet. It's just Shaun being interviewed. It's probably pre-performance. Bring it up, Jay.
Oh, he also demanded what shoes she would wear.
Oh, my God. What a loser. I hate this guy. I want to call him.
She was wearing tennis shoes, and he angrily voiced his disapproval to her. Specifically, White told her that he was going to chuck those shoes she was wearing into the river because she's wearing walking shoes. Who cares, you dick?
Time Olympic gold medalist. And is the only guy to ever win gold at both the Summer and Winter X Games. Ladies and gentlemen, Shaun White.
I thought this guy was okay when he was winning stuff.
Yeah.
He seemed kind of cool to me. I don't know why. I mean, obviously I was so wrong. Oh, does he think he's hot? Oh, my God. This guy thinks he's so hot. Ugh. He's wearing a black suit with a black shirt and a black tie.
He loves his fashion.
Oh, there's no audio?
No, that's all there is. Just the intro.
Don't show the band playing?
No. I'm trying to find it.
What? How weird.
Oh, he made her cry another dime. That's nice.
What'd he do?
They performed the final show in their summer tour. Afterwards, they were interviewed by Shaun White's videographer. During the interview, White was very demeaning towards Zawade. Every time the videographer mentioned her, this made her feel extremely hurt and uncomfortable throughout the entire interview. She left the venue crying. She voiced her concerns over Shaun White's controlling behavior and his attitude towards cutting her hair to Sanudo. I don't know who Sanudo is. And he just said, "It's not just your hair, but a lot of other little things." I'm guessing that's someone else in the band.
Hey, Jay, crank up Bad Things performs at Guitar Center. Another great gig for Bad Things. What if Bad Things are still together?
Yeah, well, who's drumming?
You just went by. It was below the Letterman.
I'm Nick Harker. We're here with Bad Things. They're going to tell us about a song called Caught Inside.
Caught Inside is basically just about being shut in and
being caught inside.
Being caught inside, right? Yeah.
Being shut in. Can't get out because you're caught inside.
Meaning like mentally as well.
You know, you're trying to get outside, but you can't.
Off from the world.
I can't believe he hasn't complained about this guy's hair. Like it's half blonde and half dark. It looks ridiculous. Ooh, she's playing a different kind of drum. This is Caught Inside.
What's the song about?
Feeling shut in and you can't get out. Sean's playing the acoustic guitar. She's singing?
Reach inside your mind, 'cause we don't ask for much.
Huh?
Dream it's a beautiful.
There's a second chick in the band too, playing keyboards.
Washed up, white. Suck my dick.
This sucks. This is terrible, isn't it?
That's when you're caught inside.
That's her. Oh, this band needs to be extinguished.
Caught inside. I had no idea that was the line.
Inside. The singer, lead singer's got tattooed eyelids.
Cool.
What if you approved? Got the pre-approved with Sean. Got really stupid arm tattoos too. There's no expense spared, like on this film, shot on film.
Yeah. Oh, really?
The Olympic money is being expended on this band. No band this bad has this kind of thing shot on film. No way. Oh, Jay says they have shitty mics. Oh, yeah, I'm surprised. We have better mics than that. It's a pretty trashy looking acoustic guitar he's playing, too.
I embarrassingly kind of like this part of the song.
Oh, Mark. Can we, Jay, will you edit that, please? Caught inside. Sorry, I hate this song.
I don't like the song either. I just thought that one part was the best part. Is that keyboard player Muslim? She has a hijab on, doesn't she?
Oh, is she wearing a hijab? Oh, I thought she was wearing a winter hat.
By the way, she has the red lipstick on that Shaun White hates.
Nobody looks so pissed. Oh, he's flexing. Shaun's flexing while he's playing.
Oh, You ever seen a band where four people are the lead singer?
No, it's... There's too many people singing. This is all Olympic money just being spent on a bad band. I guarantee it. I'm shocked he's paying these people $3,700 a month. I mean, that's a band this good would make probably, I don't know, maybe $400 or $500 a piece a month if they're lucky. You just can't get paid for gigs. That just doesn't happen.
Maybe he just needs to be really controlling over somebody or something.
Bad Things debut album. Can you look up Bad Things record sales? I'm just curious.
Drew wants to take him down.
I do. I hate him.
They think they can get away, but Drew's just going to keep them caught inside.
Well, I want to be one of those social media assholes.
John White's, you're all washed up.
Just start up shitty strings on Reddit and stuff.
Well, apparently, if you ever see Sean White, the only thing that's going to piss him off, the thing that's going to piss him off the most is to tell him he's washed up.
He is washed up.
Caught inside.
He lost to the Olympics last time.
And then became unbearable.
Caught inside. I don't know any of the bands they've opened for. I mean, they're nobody bands.
What are the names?
We Are Scientists.
Nope. That's a terrible band name.
Ex-Ambassadors.
Yeah. Oh, God. They're big. See, I'm dead serious.
Oh, no.
You know the song Renegade? Hey, living like we're renegades. No? Anybody?
New York City was a Anyone? Tour.
Yeah. Oh, they had a tour of New York City in 2013. Their New York City tour.
What, street corners?
Caught in. Oh, they played Lollapalooza. It must have been on a tiny stage. Yeah.
Hell, everyone plays Lollapalooza.
Caught inside. They play the Firefly Festival in 2014.
What's that?
Whatever that is.
Have
you heard of the Death Grips?
No.
Caught inside. Oh, no. Davis LeDuc left the band in 2015. Hold on, I gotta find out why.
Probably because Sean White's a total dick.
Announcing on his Instagram, saying, I love those guys and always will, but it's time from a brand.
I used to be caught inside.
A brand new chapter for both of us.
I gotta tell you, the Firefly Music Festival is pretty sweet. They have some good bands.
I would like to thank everyone who came along for the crazy ride that was Bad Things. You were all such a huge part of my life. And
shut up.
We'll forever be loyal to you. Okay. I'm going to spend all night reading about Bad
Good,
Things,
do it.
Highlighting anything shitty I find out about them.
Better you than me.
Here's their biggest hit so far.
Doyle. What's Doyle's last name?
Hargraves.
I told you two times the law's on my side.
Washed up!
I played cards with... What's his name? Cards with J.D. Shalnut, Chief Police.
Police. Well, the splitting the podcast into two parts isn't working, Mark. We've gone longer than we went in one part.
We did? Is this part three? How far are we?
An hour 47.
Oh, yikes. This should be our new outro music, though. No. Wait. Here it is.
You get well on a gig, but you better play through it. Do you like it, Vaughn? Sure, sounds like a number one hit tune, all right. But you, Carl, do you like that?
I reckon.
There you go.
I can't hear myself. Think, well, that's right.
Hey!
Well, it's not time.
Hey!
I told you three times already. The law's on my side. I play cards with J.D. Shalnut, Chief of Police. Kiss my ass, you bastard.
All right, that's all I wanted to hear. I love it.
All right, tomorrow we'll be back. We'll hopefully stick closer to our two-part time.
Sure.
Time. Well, we don't have time. I don't know. We know we won't. Of course we won't. We'll go way too long in both. But hopefully you'll enjoy it anyway. So everybody have a good one, and we'll see ya!